This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Governor Roy Cooper delivered his first State of the State address to a joint session of the General Assembly last night. He talked about plans for teacher pay, disaster relief, and the future of HB2.
I'm going to say this first thing because of the urgency and to go ahead and get it out of the way. Tonight, I call on the legislature once again to repeal House Bill 2.
Governor Roy Cooper during his State of the State address last night before the General Assembly and the state of North Carolina. Joining me now, Jeff DeBeery, WNC Capitol Bureau Chief, who listened to the governor's speech, attended last night, and also heard the GOP response. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Governor Cooper's first State of the State address. Tell us about what it meant for Governor Cooper in his role as governor going forward.
I think we should remember that Democrats have not had a seat at the proverbial table in recent years, with Republican supermajorities in both chambers, a Republican governor in Pat McCrory. I don't know how you quantify it necessarily, but it was among the most important speeches that a Democrat has made in North Carolina in the last few years. We should also note that it doesn't necessarily, you know, bring appropriation with it, bring sharp teeth with it. But the fact that there is a Democratic governor and that the left has a prominent voice, is important in the conversation of politics here in North Carolina. And, you know, historically, the first state of the state from a governor, to some extent, sets the tone for that governor, his or her administration. So we got a little bit of that last night. It also was somewhat repetitive. You know, we've heard this speech. A lot of us in the press have heard this speech, heard some of these stumping issues, the chatter about HB2, education, so on and so forth, fairly frequently over the last 6 to 9 months.
And it comes at a time when the governor and the GOP leadership in the legislature continue to battle over the governor's power. What was Roy Cooper's tone in that speech, and how did it reflect the growing tension between the two bodies?
Conciliatory is a word that I've used a couple of times now. Saw that in some of the reports this morning as well. I think that is perhaps the best single word to describe the tone he tried to strike last night. Going through a transcript of the speech, he used the phrase common ground 13 different times. And I think that's symbolic of what he was trying to some extent to accomplish. He has veto-proof majorities that stand in opposition from him, and he is largely powerless. The North Carolina governor is one of the least powerful governors in the United States. So these are some of the obstacles that he is up against. And, you know, I think he tried to strike that collegial, cordial tone, if you will, extend an olive branch at times. He made at one point a series of promises saying he's going to promise to listen, promise to discuss, and will only fight when he has to, and the lawmakers have given him no other choice. But as we've seen, that they have fought plenty in recent months.
And that subject he wanted to get out of the way right out of the gate, the dark cloud over North Carolina, as he put it, HB2. Tell us about that.
We had a little wager going, no money or anything like that, but we thought that we might hear HB2 one or two times. We chatted about it in the press room yesterday. In fact, there were four references to HB2, and he did it right off the top. I guess the impetus to do this, or the motivation, the strategy is it's the 1,300-pound purple elephant that's in the North Carolina room, right? So he put it on the table. He said there's some urgency and that it needs to be dealt with immediately. And he addressed it first thing after thanking his family before moving on to other issues and other topics.
All right. Budget. You talked about appropriation. Budget, of course, is an important part of the governor's role. Legislature has most of the power. Tell us about what we could detect about the governor's budget and his position on that budget moving forward.
More than half of the state budget is appropriated, allocated toward education. So you can always expect to hear a lot of chatter about education. And Governor Cooper has laid out a framework to raise teacher pay on average by 10%, 5% in the coming academic or the fiscal year, and 5% the next year. He has this vision, this plan, in his words, to make North Carolina again among the leaders of education within the Southeast. So that's something, and, you know, juxtaposed to that are the Republican House and Senate supermajorities, and they have raised teacher pay in recent years. They've said that raising principal pay is a priority for them and their bodies during this long legislative session. So we're going to see teacher pay, teacher compensation, principal compensation climb in the coming months. I mean, at least that's my expectation. How much actually happens and who takes credit for it. You know, we'll sort out those details later. In addition to education, I think we're also going to hear plenty about opiates in the coming months and the opiate crisis and how everyone is trying to coalesce around that big issue. We're also going to hear more about Hurricane Matthew relief efforts. And to some extent, I think the governor, and he touched on this a little bit, he kind of danced around it last night, is the issue of Medicaid. And, of course, this trickles down from Washington. There's a lot of uncertainty when we talk about health coverage and health care, and we don't know what's going to happen with either the Obamacare, the ACA, or the American Health Care Act. But the issue of Medicaid here in North Carolina is something that remains, you know, in the political conversation, because Medicaid was not expanded in North Carolina years ago, and there are, depending on the estimate, somewhere between 350 and 500,000 North Carolinians who are in this coverage gap who are not covered because Medicaid was not expanded here.
Jeff, you just used the word Medicaid four times. The governor used it. Well, no, but the point is the governor used it exactly zero, but he did talk about health care. Let's listen.
We also have rural hospitals that struggle to stay open and provide good health care across the state. If we work together, we can improve the health thousands of North Carolinians.
Governor Roy Cooper at his State of the State address, he talked about health care. Anywhere from 300 to 500,000 North Carolinians without health care because of the Republican legislature's refusal to expand Medicaid. We're seeing nationally what's happening to Republicans at the national level now that they're about to throw 24 million Americans out of their health care plans, and that's causing them trouble. Why can't the governor use the word Medicaid and talk about that as a political issue in the state of North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, he can. He chose not to. Medicaid is interesting. You know, we've talked about it here here in the program before, in that Medicaid in recent years was expanded in states with Republican governors, states like Arizona and Ohio and New Jersey and Indiana. Mike Pence, now the vice president, he authorized the expansion of Medicaid. And what you don't hear out of any of those states are complaints or are criticisms of how Medicaid expansion didn't work there. You just simply don't hear them. It's this interesting give and take, and it's something that governor, then candidate, then Attorney General Cooper talked about on the campaign trail, trying to expand it. But for now, there just isn't any appetite from the Republican lawmakers to do it. It is costly, but what providers have said is that in the long run, it will drive down costs, because if you provide coverage for this group of people, this large group of people who have a coverage gap, inevitably what we've seen elsewhere in the country is that you are sending inevitably fewer people are going to emergency rooms, emergency departments, and that does bring some of the costs down in providing medical care.
The Republicans did have a response. Senate Leader Phil Berger addressed Cooper's address directly.
Tonight, we heard the left's new champion. Roy Cooper is pushing their vision for the future of North Carolina. Except it's not a vision for the future of North Carolina at all. It's a mirage. It's merely a retreat to our troubled past.
There is Phil Berger, the Senate Republican leader, talking about the new champion of the left, Roy Cooper. Tell us about his response and his tone in his reply to the governor's speech.
Tone was distinctly different, Frank. The governor spoke for about 37 minutes. Berger's response, which was taped, we should note, at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon in the Senate chamber, ran about 8 minutes. And just as I noted a few moments ago about Governor Cooper, to some extent, not having a lot of power, Phil Berger is the most powerful elected official in this state. He holds the highest card. He has supermajorities in his chamber, the Senate. He presides over the Senate. And I think to some extent he was reminding people. He was putting that foot down, maybe on Roy Cooper's throat, maybe not, but he was reminding people that for 5 years he has overseen supermajorities in this state, and the state has gone in a different policy, a different political philosophical direction, and he reminded people of that last night. He ticked off some of the efforts, some of the successes, as he talks about, that Republicans have accomplished in these recent years. We're talking about lower taxes, what he says is a better business climate, and also the expansion of charter schools and education grants. And he also went after the left a couple of times in his speech.
Better business climate, of course, not true because of the millions and millions lost due to HB2. One of the interesting things is he directly criticized Governor Cooper for on this question of whether or not the governor is willing to compromise. Let's listen.
Instead of seeking middle ground, he sued to block common sense popular reforms like voter ID. and laws he doesn't like, he simply ignores. Governor Cooper talks often of compromise, but works behind the scenes to kill real compromises.
I want to talk about this. We've got to only have about a minute left, but when it comes to compromise on HB2, of course, as you say, he's the most powerful elected official in the state, supermajorities in both the House and the Senate. On HB2, for instance, if the Republicans wanted to repeal HB2, they can do that without Roy Cooper. They don't need compromise. Am I right about that? I was a little confused about his talking about backroom deals to undo compromise when, in fact, they have a majority and could, let's say, repeal HB2 without him.
A supermajority. Republicans have been able to do what they have wanted to do over the last 5 years. They called a special session in December with the intention of repealing House Bill 2. They didn't do that. My reporting, led me to the fact that they never had the votes in the House. In the Senate, they took up the issue, and it died in the Senate, but it did not go through, and it was, you know, it was a rare moment where things didn't go as planned at the General Assembly that day back in December, and they have blamed Governor Cooper for, you know, causing the deal to fall apart. That's something he denies. And again, to your point, Republicans have supermajorities, and if they want to get something through, they can get it through with or without Democratic support, except for, as we've seen thus far, this HB2 repeal, because there aren't enough conservatives who support undoing the controversial bathroom bill.
Jeff DeBerry, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Jeff DeBerry is WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief. He joined us to talk about the governor's State of the State address. He was speaking to us from Raleigh. Just ahead, a new mystery novel about love, revenge, and hog farming. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.